Justices on the Supreme Court grilled Solicitor General Donald Verrilli today about President Obama's health care reforms, specifically the individual mandate. Justice Samuel Alito saying the individual mandate is unfair to young, healthy people, forcing them to buy health insurance when they don't need it. Justice Scalia saying people aren't stupid, they'll buy insurance when they do need it. But Justice Elena Kagan responding that the young people will be the subsidizers now, but they'll become the subsidized when they're older. Well, CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin is already saying he doesn't think it's looking good for the law. So how big a deal is this? It's being called the highest profile case since the Bush v. Gore in 2000. Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate. She joins us from the Yale University studios. Emily, put it in historical context. How big is this?
Oh, it's big. It's unusual for a signature piece of legislation by the sitting president and Congress to come before the Supreme Court with such a direct challenge. And that's why, were the court to decide to overturn the law, it would be, you know, a gargantuan political moment.
And you know, others have been comparing it to Dred Scott, which, of course, had to do with whether or not people of African descent who came to the country as slaves were protected by the Constitution. Do you think it's, I mean, is that an apt comparison?
So when the court issued its decision in Dred Scott, it struck down the Missouri Compromise of 1820. And so you have, again, a court striking down a big law. But that was an older law that had been backed by the defenders of slavery. And by 1857, when Dred Scott appeared, the nation was at least revisiting those ideas. Here we have this very contemporary law. It's from 2010. It's brand new. And obviously, the president who passed it is up for election. And so the law hasn't had the same amount of time to kind of change necessarily in terms of how people view it.
Well, it's also obviously apples and oranges in the content of the case. But can you think of some other cases that were as important as far as, you know, the limits of government?
You know, the obvious comparison is the court's decisions about FDR's signature New Deal legislation. And we have this famous moment where the National Recovery Act and other legislation shows up before the court in the 30s and they strike it down. And that leads to a big upheaval. Eventually, one of the Supreme Court justices switched sides in this famous moment and FDR's legislation was upheld. And that's why we have Social Security and lots of other big government programs. That's sort of a defining moment for the New Deal. If the Affordable Care Act were to be struck down, it might look a lot like the beginning of the Supreme Court's rebellion against FDR's expansion of federal power. But it's important to remember the context is different in that in the 1930s, these justices who were not willing to go along with FDR were really reflecting the constitutional assumptions of their time. There was a lot of resistance at that moment to FDR's ideas, to the whole idea that government could set limits on the workday and other things that FDR was asking for. Whereas now we have really decades of decisions from the Supreme Court itself that have gone along with similar expansions of federal power. And so the Supreme Court, were it to strike down the Affordable Care Act, would have a lot more backpedaling to do.
Well, and what are your thoughts as to whether or not they will? I mean, this is sheer, you know, tea leaf reading. We know that. But, you know, people have been speculating that this court may not want to issue another divisive 5-4 decision in a huge case, which they've done several times. Your colleague Dahlia Lithwick wrote on Slate recently that this is a court that's very aware of negative public opinion. She cited a Bloomberg poll that said something like 75% of Americans think the judge's decisions in this healthcare case will be affected by their politics. And they recently ruled in so many big cases. I'm thinking of Citizens United. We're seeing that play out in the Republican presidential campaign. So she, Dahlia, thinks that this is a court that may want to hold its powder. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that there's a lot to that position. I mean, if you think of the fallout from Citizens United and the way in which the court has been made fun of for treating corporations as persons and just the whole notion that they really interfered with campaign finance legislation that Congress had backed, then you imagine they might hesitate before another politically divisive decision. And if you're just looking at this case on the law and you think about the different decisions that have been issued by the court on federal power. This is a straightforward case. You know, it's maybe 8-1 because Justice Clarence Thomas has never gone along with this whole line of decisions.
Wait, you really think, I mean, others have said that this is a slam dunk, that it might be an 8-1 vote?
Legally speaking, I think there's a lot of reason to feel like that's true. But the thing is, the Supreme Court doesn't have to necessarily abide by its own precedents. The Supreme Court can do whatever it wants. And that's the danger here of this feeling of politicization. I mean, I understand why people in polls feel like politics will inform this result. Because if the Supreme Court does decide to overturn the healthcare law, it's going to really have to reach to find a rationale that's deeply rooted in the law and in precedent as opposed to in politics.
Well, and again, there are others of other opinions, and they're standing in front of the court right now arguing that, you know, that this is government overreach. You know all the, and our listeners know all the arguments that are being made, that you can't rule on inactivity. In other words, you can't make somebody purchase something they weren't going to purchase. I mean, these are the arguments that are being made, and we'll have to see how it plays out. Emily, before we let you go, you're there at Yale, in their studios at any rate. How big is this, you know, in the law world, with law students? How closely is this being watched?
My students at Yale Law School are watching it closely and talking about it a lot, as is the faculty. I mean, this is a big watershed moment. And even if it seems like it should be straightforward, legally speaking, which I think a lot of people on the right and the left actually agree about, it's still a moment where the Supreme Court is front and center. And that matters a lot to people in the legal community.
Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.